Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline studio here on a Thursday morning, and Triple Play Thursday, and one artist, three songs, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. That's all coming up and a lot more. But right now, I'm very, very excited to welcome to the show a film and TV music composer who has scored some great movies, some great TV shows, and has a couple of Emmy Awards to prove it. And he is the guy who's responsible for the scores for all three of the Evil Dead movies and many more things. And, yeah, Ash versus Evil Dead as well. But the Evil Dead movie, the original Evil Dead, is going to be shown this weekend at the Music Box Theater. And it's pretty special because it's a big 4K restoration. And it's at the Music Box at midnight on Friday the 11th and Saturday the 12th. It's just going to be great. This is going to be, the movie's never going to look as good as it will this weekend. And it's featuring a reimagined score by Joe LaDuca, who is our guest, who we're really thrilled to have on here, and very excited about this movie being screened this weekend with this reimagined score. And let's welcome Joe to the show. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
All right.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. My pleasure. I can't tell you how much I enjoy your scores. You're a great, great composer. Really, really imaginative and really, really fun as well.
Well, thank you. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me, you got started very young. I'm looking at your bio here. At the age of 15, you were opening for rock legends like Bob Seger and Ted Nugent in Detroit clubs. So you obviously are, and you were sneaking into Jeff Beck concerts and stuff like that. So you got into music at a very young age.
Yeah, I there are pictures of me standing on tables and dancing, and got in and was a boy soprano in the church choir at six, and just kept going from there. And we had a tween band that was playing, British Rock Invasion, and we were a cute little tween band that would warm up for these rock legends, or soon to become rock legends at the time, and I've been doing it ever since. And I was still a student when I first met Sam Raimi and Rob Tappert and Bruce Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
They had a little, I'll call it a treehouse of an office in Ferndale, Michigan, next to a magic shop.
Yeah.
And these guys were just so entertaining, so much fun to be around. They showed me a little bit of the movie and said, can you make scary music? And can you score a film? And I was smart enough and stupid enough to say yes, not having a clue. But we got through it. And this is the thing that has survived nearly four decades, right?
Yeah, it's insane. It really is. The story behind the making of that movie is just really pretty amazing. First of all, let's get back to your childhood. Was there music in your house growing up? Were you early on a big fan of music?
I think it was just a language that came naturally to me. There are no musicians per se in our family, but my family always loved music, so there was a lot of it around. And I was an only child. I had a lot of time to myself, and I loved music. It's what I dream, what I think about, what I do every day.
And so we have something in common. I'm an only child too. It's a unique way to grow up.
Well, you have a lot of time to imagine, right?
Yeah, absolutely. No question about it. No question about it. And were there, like, when you were, what music did you focus on when you were a kid? What was the stuff that really grabbed you?
Well, I think, once I was, like I said, choral music. I was playing classical music. I was playing piano. I was playing cello. But then by the time the Beatles and the British Invasion, and we had a very vibrant scene in Detroit, Michigan, as I'm sure you had in Chicago.
Yeah.
Where the legends would just come through town, and it would be every week. They'd do the tour through the Midwest. The Who would come by. They'd go sweep around the Midwest, and they'd be back two or three weeks later. That's the kind of environment. So we had access to all that great music, and certainly I was inspired to pick up the guitar and start a band. And, I was the guy who was always wearing the grooves in the records and figuring out all the parts and showing them to the other kids.
Yeah.
That turned into composing.
Well, there it is. And so now you said that you met. How exactly did you meet Ramey and those guys?
Well, the story is that I was producing demos for someone who was a filmmaker himself, and kind of became friendly with him. And he posed the question one day. He said, "Joe, you're kind of good at this music thing. What do you think you want to do with it?" Because I was, still very young. And for some reason, what came out of my mouth was, "I think I'd be good at scoring films." There were no film scoring programs at the time. I was living not in a media city for certainly producing, movies and television.
Yeah.
But that stuck with him. And at some point, he was involved in raising post-production money for the boys, and introduced me to them. And that introduction came through him. So I owe him. I owe him a lot.
yeah, absolutely. Now, were there when you were a kid and when you were younger and you were like, I think I need, I think I want to score movies. Do you have some some scores that really inspired you? The ones that really stand out. Some of your favorite movie scores of all time.
It wasn't like that. There was a lot of again, being an only child, there's a lot of TV that I watched, but it wasn't as though I was a soundtrack collector. As a matter of fact, I got introduced really to film music through Sam, because he would dub all his Super 8s with, he'd have scores. He'd have the John Williams scores and the Bernard Herrmann scores. And that was really the first time I'd really gotten into film music or had an exposure to it. But, having studied Bartok and Stravinsky and certainly classical music, it was a language I was familiar with. How to apply it to film was the new part of it. But what I didn't know at the time, I didn't really pursue music at university. I went to U of M to study Romance languages and comparative literature.
Mm.
But what I didn't know was that I was really getting ready to be a storyteller in a way. Because of that background, it all sort of came together. And then in college, got more exposed to jazz and other kinds of music, and moved back to Detroit and started playing with a lot of the jazz musicians who basically were the Motown musicians that Motown left behind when they left to go to Los Angeles. So I was on gigs weekly with, Pistol Allen and Earl Van Dyke and Dean Bowles and Jack Brokenshaw. And so it was all sort of coming together at the time.
Yeah.
And then when I saw the music that I had written on a big screen, my fate was sealed. It was really magical to be a part of that process.
And let's talk a little bit about the making that first movie, The Evil Dead, and when you got involved. What was it like working with those guys on a movie that took so long to make, and then and was barely released, and then suddenly became this iconic movie? What was it like working with those guys at that time?
Well, you have to understand that it was the first movie that Sam had commissioned a score for. Because previously to that, it was all his needle drops.
Yeah,
that they would throw in. So our spotting session was watching. I didn't even know it was a spotting session. We were sitting on the floor of his mom's den, eating popcorn and watching the movie and talking about where to put the music and what it should do. And then they left me alone with it. The tools were crude.
Because
there was no syncing to video. They loaned me an old 3/4-inch deck that had this horrible shuttle. So I was constantly like rewinding too far or not enough. and calculating with a calculator the hit points with Quick Track books.
Wow.
So when we scored, we didn't score the picture. We didn't have any kind of, sophisticated setup to do that. So it was really the technique of doing it was really painful.
Yeah.
Initially. But I love being in a recording studio. I love being, making music with other musicians. At the time, the score was what we had budget for, which was 5 strings that I used again when I did the reimagining. And then me basically playing anything else I could get my hands on, whether it was piano or guitars or banging, making percussion sounds. At the time, the first polyphonic synthesizer had really come and became available, so I rented that. I couldn't really afford it, so we did that to try to make the score sound a little better in a fake kind of way.
Yeah.
So that was the process, and we were all really happy with the result, crude as it was.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great score. I mean, I loved it. I love the score. I love the score for all three of the Evil Dead movies, very, very much. I want to we got to take a break here, Joe, but hang on for a second, okay?
Yes.
Okay, we got a lot more to talk about. Joe LaDuca is here. He's a film and TV composer. He's composed the music for the Evil Dead trilogy, and the Evil Dead 4K restoration is going to be shown on the big screen in the big theater at the Music Box this Friday and Saturday at midnight, which is going to feature a reimagined score by our guest Joe LaDuca, and we're going to talk about that and more after we take a break here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. It's just so beautiful. Just so, such a beautiful, beautiful score, beautiful piece. Joe LaDuca is with us. He is a film and TV composer. He composed music for a bunch of movies, a bunch of great TV shows, including the whole Evil Dead trilogy. And the Evil Dead 4K restoration of the original film is going to be screened this weekend, Friday and Saturday at midnight at the beautiful Music Box Theater in the big, big theater. So that's going to be something. And it's featuring a reimagined score by Joe. And we welcome Joe back to the show to talk some more. Joe, welcome back, sir.
Yes.
All right.
Let's continue.
Yes, let's continue. So you did the score for all three of the Evil Dead films. But, you know, between the first one and the second one and the third one, the tones of those movies changed drastically. Like, the first one is pretty straight-up horror and pretty dark and twisted. Second one is really got some great horror elements to it, but it's also very, very funny. The third one's a flat-out comedy. And so how did that stay in your head when you were making your scores? Did you vary them to make the tone seem a little bit different as the movies got crazier?
Well, again, it was a process of sort of dealing with each one as it came about.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't know there was going to be a trilogy for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
The big thing about Evil Dead 2 is that, I can hire a full orchestra for this one.
Yeah.
That's great. A small full orchestra, but nonetheless a full orchestra. So I had those resources. That was great. And the element of comedy, I can't remember. Yeah, there's a couple of comedic scenes that are scored comedically, but generally, even for Ash versus Evil Dead, the music is never really terribly comedic. I'm the straight man, you know.
Right.
As it's the same position I take when I scored Don Mancini's last couple of Chucky movies.
Yeah,
you know, let Chucky have all the good lines.
Yeah,
don't get in his way.
Yeah,
you know, kind of. So, except when there's no choice to just be as absurd and over the top as what you're looking at, as in the case of, there was the sort of animation sequence in Army of Darkness where the mirror breaks and there's a bunch of little ashes running around.
Right.
Slapstick comedy. You know, you just have to go with it.
Then. Yeah, yeah. Well, I love that. I think my favorite of the three of the scores, my favorite is Army of Darkness. I adore that score. I think it's just so great. I mean, I love them all, but I think Army of Darkness is my personal favorite. Do you have a favorite of the trilogy?
Well, I think, you know, now that I've had a chance to revisit Evil Dead 1.
Yeah.
And my reimagined score, I really have a fondness for, obviously, for a number of reasons, which I'm sure we'll go into.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, as far as its coherence, Army of Darkness, with having the conceit of going back to medieval times, and
yep,
that we have ba- battles and epic scenes, and you know, we can play off of those conventions, was certainly the most fully formed of the three.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, let's talk about this reimagining. When did you decide to do this? Was this something that you wanted to do when they decided that the 4K restoration was going to happen? Did you say, look, I want to redo the score. I want to reimagine the score. Was that something you came up with?
No. This happened, predates all of that activity. Record companies kept calling to re-release the scores. And I had the idea in my head, rather than re-releasing the scores, was every time I've done a horror movie since, I get commissioned to write for an entire orchestra, even if we're in a house, even if we don't need it, even if the settings are small. And the producers always think it's very, very important that you make big, scary sounds, and you know the popcorn's got to go flying.
Yeah.
And bigger is better. And I'm also happy to comply. But there was something about having this sort of chamber music idea that he never could really explore again. So I got it really in my head to write away from picture and to compose music. I mean, there is a theme and variations, a passacaglia, that's on the album, that's not in the 5K registration, that's on the album, mm-hmm. that is basically the "We're Gonna Get You" variation.
Yeah.
And so I was writing pieces like that away from picture. And that turned into 30 or 40 minutes of music. And then I had been in discussions with Mondo, the vinyl company out of Austin, owned by Almo Drafthaus, to actually complete the score, complete a reimagined score, and put on a concert. That never happened, but I did complete the score, and we did do a live-to-picture concert a few years ago at the Ace Hotel, which is the old United Artists Theater in downtown Los Angeles, which was a hoot. Bruce Campbell hosted, and it was lovely. So this existed. The album came out. It's been a four. It's been that way since. Beyond Fest in LA couldn't afford to put on the whole concert, but we had the idea that, well, what if we just made a print with the new score on it? Not
yeah.
thinking about 4K, not thinking about anything else. I mean, we had to literally digitally strip the original MAG soundtrack because there were no separate elements.
Oh man,
it was strip it of the music to make this. Well, once we got involved with that, we said, Sam, we want to make this print to Sam Raimi, the original director. And he came back with the response of, not so fast, fellas. What we really redid, we have a 5.1 mix. Most all of the sound, the sound effects have been treated. A lot of the dialogue's been, you know, kind of re-queued as best as we can do that.
Yeah.
Playing 5.1 gains in the speakers, as well as adding the new score in. So it's a brand new mix. It's way beside the 4K restoration. The soundtrack is completely different. Most of the fans that have heard it, we've heard it. It's a brand new experience, believe it or not, for this old movie.
Man, that is exciting.
Yeah, so it took us a year between our schedules and to complete the idea, and we finally did. And a few weeks ago, we had our world premiere in Austin. And what I've been doing on special occasions is bringing out the sextet and playing sort of a pre-concert of some of this music, which has been really great. Last Saturday, we performed at the Egyptian Theater in Hollywood in advance of the Beyond Fest screening. And now Groundhouse releasing Bob Murawski, who has been Sam Raimi's editor since maybe Evil Dead, since Army of Darkness, and through all his career since, has Groundhouse releasing, which rents out films, classic horror films, a lot of Italian over time things. And so they've told me that they're up to about 60 screenings now.
Wow.
That practically every day between now and the end of the year, including Christmas Eve, there are screenings of this new print. and it's coming to Chicago.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's you know, I mean, it's one of my favorite movies, and just the fact that it got this 4K restoration, I just love the fact that it got this beautiful new 4K restoration with a new sound mix and everything. When the movie, you know, when I first saw it, I saw it on VHS the first time I saw Evil Dead. Didn't even see it on the big screen.
I hear that story so much.
Yeah.
You know, a friend lent me this VHS. It's almost like Lords of the Ring. Right?
Yeah.
You will die in 10 days when you...
Yeah. And I never thought while I was watching it, I mean, it was a transcendent movie for me, like watching it. I couldn't believe what I was watching. But it's like, it was like this grimy little VH1, you know, movie that was in the corner of the video store. Had this weird cover with a quote from Stephen King on it, and I was like, what the hell is this? And I had no idea what it was, and then I watched it, and this little movie, this little grimy, little weird little movie, now years later has a 4K restoration. It's getting shown around the country. That's astonishing to me, and great, you know?
It's the gift that keeps on giving. Yeah. You can't kill this movie, Nick.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
You can't. You really can't. And I know that, like, you know, at the New York Comic Con, Sam Raimi was saying that the Evil Dead is not dead, and in fact that we will have probably more Evil Dead, probably without Bruce, but we'll have more Evil Dead. And I loved Ash versus Evil Dead. I thought they did a great job with it, and the addition of Ray Santiago and my future ex-wife Dana DiLorenzo was great.
Yes.
And I just thought the show was great, and I thought your music was great, and I was being skeptical when it first came out, you know, like, oh man, I don't know. And then when I saw Tappert's name, Raimi directed the pilot, and obviously Bruce was on board, I was like, okay, I'll give it a chance. And after the first episode, I was like, this is the deal. And I hope that this world, this Evil Dead world, and I love the reboot. I thought the reboot was great. I was a big fan of that movie, too. And I'm glad that the world is still going to be around, and I'm glad that this 4K restoration is happening this weekend, you know?
Yeah, I mean, a bit about the soundtrack. Again, you know, a lot of the music was rewritten. But then when I went back, there were a few things that I thought were just fine. Even in my neophyte film scoring way of doing things,
yeah,
I thought that, you know, they should stay in, if for no other reason than sentimental ones.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So it was a real interesting process. And like I said, and you had mentioned the pilot with Sam, it was like getting the band back together.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what it felt like when I was watching it. It was like, man, this is it. It's Evil Dead. This is an Evil Dead movie or an Evil Dead thing. It was great. I'm very excited about it. It's so great to talk to you, Joseph. Joe, I'm a big admirer of your work. I think you're a great composer.
Thank you, Nick. Enjoy the screening. I think you're going to see all the gasps.
Yeah.
And all the laughs are still in all the right places.
Yeah, yeah. So the Evil Dead 4K restoration featuring your score, which is reimagined, this Friday and Saturday at the Music Box Theater, which is, by the way, have you ever been to the Music Box Theater, Joe?
I have not. I've seen the front of it. It's a classic. It's definitely a classic theater.
It is a beautiful, beautiful theater, and the best place to see something like Evil Dead's 4K restoration. It's going to be a wonderful weekend. Joe, thank you so much, man. It was a real pleasure having you on the show.
Enjoy. Thank you, Nick.
All right, take care, buddy. There you go. Joe LaDuca. LaDuca, who is a film and TV composer, Evil Dead trilogy, bunch of other great TV shows and great movies. Really incredibly talented guy. The 4K restoration, complete restoration, with a new mix, new sound, new everything, reimagined score, is tomorrow night and on Saturday night at midnight at the beautiful Music Box Theater. Go to musicboxtheater.com for more information. It's going to be a special one. Okay, let's take a quick break here on 720 WGN.